Well, thanks for tuning in today to the Basketball Podcast. Joining me today is the head men's basketball coach here at Augustana College, Tom Billiter. Tom, thanks for taking some time to chat with us about hoops here.
Brad, happy to do it. It's kind of a great concept you've got going. It's a neat idea. I think it's good for, you know, anytime you can talk. Well, for me, especially at basketball, anytime we can have an opportunity to visit about sports and people around this region, community, get a chance to listen, it's good for all of us.
Well, cool. Thanks. Well, we're here near the end of October, and that means November. The calendar is flipping here pretty quick, which, if you're a basketball coach, means we know games are right around the corner. But I'm just curious, how has the first few weeks of practice gone for you and your squad here?
Well, it's been good. I think, you know, the new rule this year allowed us to have 2 hours a week as a team, which was unique. We've never had that opportunity. So we took about the first 2 weeks. We start school late. I know we started September 7th. So the first couple weeks we did individuals, which I think were good. We have so many new faces. But then the last probably 2 weeks, we practiced. And so we were probably a little further ahead in terms of at least knowing the structure of the practice, sure, the stretching, the routine. And so I think you were probably further ahead than we've been maybe in the past, especially for having this many new kids.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now, you mentioned the NCAA changes there where you guys were allowed to actually do the group practices with having new kids this year, but yet you still have a mix of some returners. Did you find that is it more challenging when you have a mix like that, where you have some new and some returners, or is it sometimes easier when you just have more of a new team? Or
it's always different. I think that we have older kids though that have been around. Lake Nolan and Eric Jorgensen are redshirt juniors. Cody's a senior. DeZale's a senior. Mm-hmm. Even McCaffrey, who's played a ton of minutes his first 2 years, is a junior. So we've got a nice mix this year of old and new, and I can really kind of bring the new kids along. In fact, we're going to redshirt a big kid named Ben Recker out of Appleton, Wisconsin, who, to be quite honest, he's probably one of my top three bigs. He's really going to be a good player, but I've got bodies there this year. DeZale's a senior. He's looking at, you know, 10 minutes a game maybe as a freshman versus 30 or more as a fifth-year senior, sure, and a chance, in my opinion, if he continues to develop, to be an all-conference, all-region type player. So, you know, we've made some decisions like that. But overall, you know, we've got a brand new point guard. What's hurt us, and everybody faces this, we've had three key players have surgeries. I mean, these were, you know, I've had two knee surgeries and a pin put in a broken foot. Two of those kids won't be back until Christmas, probably 1st of December. And they're key players. And so where that has an effect is practice. They're all point guards. And so we're playing kids out of position in practice, and that's made it a little bit more challenging, which is unfortunate because I think the kids that got hurt, they were brought here as transfers specifically to shore that spot up, and all of them got hurt. So, you know, it's part of the game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, especially like you said, when it all happens at one position, especially a key position like point guards. If I can ask you, what as a coach, what do you like about this time of the year, this kind of season, if you will, that you're in within the season, you know, where you're not playing games yet? Is there something that you really like about this time of year before you actually are competing?
Yeah, I know they sound like coaches' answers, but I think, and you know as well, I think either you really like basketball or maybe there's parts of it you like. You know, some coaches like recruiting, they don't like the game. Some just like teaching the game, they don't like recruiting. I like it all. I love to recruit. And I love basketball. I love practice. And this is the year it all comes together. You know, your early signing period is right now. I can't say names, as you know, but I've got we have two huge commitments that are both, in my opinion, just very talented players. We're still working on that aspect of things, yet we're practicing every day, watching film, breaking down practices and tape. And so, you know, I don't know if it gets any better than this. And you're not fighting the elements, you know. I mean, you're not worried about your bus trips and having to go a day early, or worried about even getting to your game. You know, in the last 2 years, we've had four or five postponements. And, you know, previous 25 years of college coaching, I don't remember having any, you know, really. You know, I was at NDSU for 5 years. I don't remember postponing games. And this year and last year, we've had four, you know. Yeah. So this is, to me, the perfect time of the year.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I know last year, I think if we looked back a little bit to the end of last season for you guys, probably you would have to say left you with a little bit of disappointment. Again, not making the NCAA regional and having a tough loss there at home at the end in the conference tournament. But I'm just curious, how have you guys kind of spun that in a way to motivate this year's team kind of heading into this year? Or is that something you guys talk about a lot, or is it something that part's done and you're moving on to this season?
It's a good question. No, I don't really even remember it. You know, I don't really care about that. We're more concerned about, on the flip side, and I know you're going to get to this, you know, we're ranked fairly high, which we all know means nothing, although in a weird way it's a compliment. You know, I mean, it means people at least respect your program, sure, or at least they think you have an opportunity. And I know having a kid like Cody and, you know, players like Cody and Cam help you get that type of a ranking. But I would much rather focus on that and use that as motivation and make sure our guys realize every game they've got to play their best, because we're one of the teams on everyone's schedule they want to beat. And that's in the now, and that's reality. I really don't really ever look back. I mean, in the same breath, I could also say we had three straight 20-win seasons and three straight tournaments, and we've won the most games over the last 4 years in the history of our school, and we're the winningest team in the region. So, I mean, I don't think that matters either. Okay. So, you know, I really and truly not much to worry or wonder about all of that, but I really like the present and the potential future.
Sure. So you mentioned, some of the preseason stuff that has come your guys' way, picked to win the conference, and anytime you talk to a coach, that kind of brings about, you know, some different feelings. I'm just curious, how have you guys approached that, or how have you approached that with your team? Is it something you guys are embracing, or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good question. Yeah, no, we can't hide it. Yeah. And I don't want to be, I try to be very truthful. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's always good. I think maybe people want you to just say what they want to hear. Yeah. And I've always tried to be very honest. If a kid's hurt, he's hurt. If we're young, we're young. Yeah. The bottom line is you're still going to win or lose games, but I like to try to take pressure off my players. I like the pressure on me. I really don't care. Yeah. I always say I'm at the pinnacle of a very mediocre career. I'm 50 years old, and I really don't give a crap too much about what people think anymore. I used to. I don't care nearly as much as I used to. I like to think what my players think. I care about them. I care about my school, and I care about my staff and my family, but I really don't care too much after that. So, you know, we're going to do what we do, how we do it, and we're going to continue to work with it as best we can. And, you know, I think what you do is you embrace it, and you just continue to go forward with everything, and I think good things will happen.
Sure. One of the other things that kind of goes with this time of year is you do get to have some practices against other teams, whether it's a scrimmage or an exhibition game. And I guess, first of all, if you can kind of enlighten us, what's the difference between a quote-unquote scrimmage versus an exhibition game, and I guess why would you choose to do one over the other?
Great question. Exhibition game obviously is a game that just doesn't count, but it's referees. It's keep the score, 40 minutes on the clock, overtime, fans charge, advertise. It's a regular, real game that just doesn't count in the standings. Scrimmage, we can control. You can only keep the score for a half, and then you have to erase it. You can't keep it as. You can't advertise it. You can't charge to get in. And really, at a place like Augie, the advantage of a scrimmage is we can control it. I can ask their coach to play some zone work on that. He can ask me to do something. We've actually just scrimmaged Northwestern last Friday out of Orange City, and Coach Corver always does, you know, great coach, always has a great program. That was very good for us. I think that those are great working environment. It's really good as a coach for the working aspect of it. I think an exhibition game is great for the school and the kids, because if we played Gustavus a year ago in an exhibition game, we had 2,000 people here, charged just flat out $3 or $5 a person, and it was a food item night, and the pantry said that we brought in about as much food as they had that entire week from one game. Wow. You know, so, you know, those are good things that you can do out of an exhibition game versus a scrimmage, but I think a scrimmage as a coach is much more useful tool.
Okay. Well, looking at your schedule, you guys do have an exhibition game on your schedule this year at Minnesota, and looking back, you guys have played some other high-profile Division I teams, Gonzaga recently, and Arizona
twice.
Yeah. What's the thinking, or what's the nice thing? Why do you schedule a game against high-level competition like that, where maybe a coach would say, we don't want to go, you know, go up against something like that. You know, it's not going to be good for our team. What about that is something that's good for you?
Three reasons I like doing it. One, I've always we played Rice, and I had a couple kids early in my career here from Texas. We played Wisconsin, and I had Marcus Blank, and I had Mike Kleppitz, and I had a lot of Wisconsin kids, so I got to take them home. I had XL Hardy and a couple other kids from Illinois, Chad Hatterman, Jordan Dalton. We went and played Illinois State. So it's a chance to take some of these kids home and play and get paid to do it. So it covers the trip and maybe even make a little bit of money. You know, we played Arizona twice because that was a deal that Coach Olson had set up before he retired, actually, and had set that up. And Sean Miller honored it, which was a great thing. And that was a lot of fun. And we made a little bit of money. Gonzaga is just a friend. You know, Mark Few and I are friends. And we go way back. And it was an opportunity to take my kids out and play. You know, we played them the year Adam Morrison graduated. So it still was Pargo and Reveno. And, I mean, they were really good. And so I think what it is, it's a recruiting tool. You can get kids back to a unique area of the country, and you can make a little bit of money. And I think those are three good reasons. Plus, you get to play at a level that maybe our kids, maybe compare themselves to throughout the summers and watching teams on TV, and then they get a little reality check. And in some cases, I've seen our kids impressed and like, wow, they're better than I thought. And in other cases, I've seen our kids just go, man, I can do that. And, you know, I think that's what you're seeking is the second example.
Sure. And so do you feel like, I mean, as a coach, you still obviously get things out of playing that level of competition. Does it, I mean, obviously exposes probably some weaknesses that you maybe wouldn't see if you're playing other level of competition. Is that something that you like? Is that another added benefit to playing a high-level team like that?
Yeah, you always learn. You know, last year we lost to Arizona by 11. Now, Derek Williams had 28 and 14. They shot 33 free throws. We shot 7. You know what I mean? I actually left the floor thinking that they, if you'd have told me they were going to the Elite Eight that year, I would have never believed it. And I really felt that, you know, those types of situations can be a real huge confidence boost. Even when we went out and lost Wisconsin by 20 and, you know, even Gonzaga down 10 at the half out there. I mean, we, you know, you take pieces on all it can be as a positive. I don't use it as a negative. Okay. So any type of positive, anything you gather from it is great. Biggest fear really of any of those games is injury. You know, they're just bigger, stronger, set harder screens, rebounding. I've had a couple kids get hurt in those exhibition games, and that's always a concern.
Sure. How hard is it to get a game like that, and how far out are you scheduling something like that? You mentioned Arizona was something that maybe was a few years out when you did it.
It's hard. And what's happened at D1 level, they're allowed now to scrimmage. And so they can go Ball State and go play Marquette, and they can control the scrimmage and shut the doors. And they play in front of enough people throughout the year. They don't want to play extra games in front of people. They don't need to. So that's one thing. And then, like, for example, you know, I have friends that are, like, coaches at the University of, you know, Kansas or Oklahoma, and they have to play in-state schools. In fact, Coach Smith, Tubby's doing us a favor. You know, it's really good of him, and an assistant here is actually director of ops, Joe Esposito. Joe's a dear friend, and Tubby's a good friend of my former boss at A&M, and that all worked at our because they are supposed to play in-state schools.
Sure.
And he really did us a favor this year. I'm sure this is a one-and-done deal, but it's really, you know, Ryan and I go back, and he did us a huge favor playing us, because they recommend he play in state school. So sometimes it helps to know someone, but overall these games are getting harder and harder.
Well, we'll sure look forward to you guys going up and challenging the Gophers here in about a week or so when you guys get that opportunity. And, it'll be a good precursor to the season. Again, you guys open the season playing University of Sioux Falls here, a crosstown team, and that game will be at the arena, but probably the last time at the arena, do you think, once USF's in the Northern Sun?
I don't really care. I'd play every game there,
but
I understand if it's not. I really don't care. I think it's a neat community thing. The thing I like about playing in the arena versus both, I would like to see where it's, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 people want to come to the game. You know, that's my, you know, I envision this as being something that, you know, the old, when we play USD or SDSU, and I was at NDSU or UND, you know, kind of a rival where you'd love to see thousands of people. And I know our facility can only seat about 3,500 to 4,000, and I don't know the capacity of the Stewart Center, but I guarantee it ain't 6,000. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I'd love to see it always played out there. Yeah. But, you know, if we're not selling that type of tickets and it doesn't get to that point, well, then I understand the home-and-home part of it.
Sure. Well, good. Well, Tom, thank you very much for your time today. It's always good to sit down and chat with you as we get ready to tip off another exciting basketball season, which is right around the corner here.
Good luck to you, Brad. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.